Gimel Ma'al Cheshvin, Monday the 31st of October. Rabbi Eli Bishheller, the significance of Lech Lecha.
Good morning. The significance of Lech Lecha, really, the title should be the significance of a Yid. The difference between the Avoid of a Yid and someone else who serves Hashem, who's aware of Hashem, who's committed to the same cause, but it takes on an entirely different nature. And the question I posed to you this morning, Rav Isai, is a very obvious question that many of the Pashtonim ask. The first time we encounter Avraham Avinu, the first time he's addressed, the first time he's seen in his own life, not just as an extension of his father, is over here in Parshas Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem al Avram. Who is Avram? Where did he come from? What was his history? What were his achievements? No mention. The Torah doesn't find that necessary to detail. Avram was told by Hashem, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Me'olatecha, Me'beis Avicha, La'aretz Asher Arecha. That's it. Now you would think, okay, this is where he begins to shine. This is where he takes on a significant role in the historic narrative. But that's not the case. That is not the case. We know about Avraham Avinu, the Gemara says, Ben Sholish, Hikir Ez Boiroi. Avraham Avinu was probably the first person, or at least as far as we know, the first person who jumped into a fire for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was willing to be killed. Not because he wanted to perform Torah mitzvahs. He would have been entitled to do whatever it is, his avodah that he believed in, he would have been allowed to do without having to give up his life. He wanted to be mefarsim in the entire world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the truth, at Einoid Mulvadoi, that Hashem Echad, that was his message that he brought to every person in the world. And for that, he was willing to give up his life. Right? He jumped into a Kibshon HaEsh, he didn't know it was going to be a mess. He didn't know that he's going to be saved. That happened. As far as he was concerned, fine. Not. If I can't go around from house to house, from street to street, and scream, Yiskada, Yiskada, Shmei Rabo, I don't want to live. If Nimrod is going to stop me, let him take my life. That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu as a child, growing up in Terach's house, discovered the truth, was focused only on uncovering the MS of MS Hashem Yoilom, committed his entire life to that, and paid the ultimate price, changed the whole scene of civilization in his day. You know, it's probably fair to suggest that the one person who had the biggest impact on history was Avraham Avinu. I'm not a historian, I don't know. But someone who had such a difference. I mean, outside of Bnei Yisrael, right? You have a billion Christians today that if they have some level of Amunah, it comes from Avraham Avinu. And the same with a billion Muslims. And this is 4,000 years later. But be that as it may, I'm not talking from a historical point of view. Pashit from the avodah of a person serving Hashem, Avraham had tremendous achievements, which the Torah ignores entirely. All the Torah tells us is that Hashem told him to go from point A to point B. How do we know that he went into the Kibshon HaEsh? We know it previously only b'derech agav. Avraham is mentioned only as Eila told his Terach. Terach Hoylid. Amongst the three children, we have Avraham as one of the three. So Avraham is Nachar v'es Horam. Then the pasuk says, "Vayamas Haran al pnei Terach Aviv," that Haran died in the lifetime of his father. And Rashi raises the question: what's the pasuk telling us? It wasn't the common thing. It wasn't the normal thing. Children didn't die in the lifetimes of their parents, right? Illness is something that was introduced later. That came later. People lived out their days. Why did Haran die? So Rashi tells us that he saw Avraham Avinu and he saw Nimrod telling Avraham Avinu what he told him, and he saw Avraham go into the Kibshon HaEsh, and people asked him, "Yishel mi ato? Who are you, Haran?" And Haran wasn't sure. He was very impressed by his brother's commitment. His brother's, he said, if his brother's right, then there'll be a mess. And he said, "I'm not sure." When he saw that his brother was saved, then he jumped into the fire. And for him, the mess didn't work. So that's how we know in Cheder about the story of the Kibshon HaEsh, in other words, the remes for it in Torah Shebichtav, is only B'derech Agav telling us about Haran when Haran died. So the Torah doesn't find it necessary to tell us of Avraham's achievement, that he was mefarsim, the presence of Hashem to every creature in the world. You know, when you daven in Rosh Hashanah, when you daven the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, and you read time and again, the Yeda Kol Pol Kiato Pa'alto, the Yovin Kol Yitzur Kiato Yitzarte. If I ask you an honest question, don't worry, don't take it personal, because I have to ask the same question to myself. Are any of us concerned that Kol Pol should know Sha'ata Pe'alto? Does it matter to you if the Chinese know about the presence of Hashem or not? It puts things in perspective of what really the mandate is. Avraham Avinu was concerned that the Arab who bows down to the Avak Shah Raglov should have a deeper understanding of the truth. He wanted, for him it was Negea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence should penetrate the awareness of every single Nivra Ba'olam. That's mattered to him. And he went on a serious Nefesh for it. There's a Medrash that says that even before he was born, he was targeted. Terach, Nimrod knew that that Terach's child was going to rebel against him, and Nimrod said, I want to kill the child. Terach gave him a different child. So Avraham spent 3 years of his life in a cave, in the darkness. He was bored food. So Avraham has a quite impressive CV. His resume is worthy of exploring. And the Torah doesn't address it. I think it's a very fair question. Why does it begin by 75 years old? This is where it all starts. So Rabbi says, if you read the second pasuk in the parsha, it says, "Vayom Hashem al Avram lechlecho me'artzecho u'mimoladetecho mi'beisavicho." Why? El ha'aretz asher arecha. Why should you go? So the pasuk says, "Ve'eschol lo goy godu." This is where this tivui, this commandment, this moment in your life is where you're going to make the transition from being a wonderful person to being the father of Bnei Yisrael. Up until this point, Avraham Avinu had achievements that we can only imagine. We can't even fully appreciate. But they were not uniquely achievements of a Yid. They didn't express what it means to be a Yid. They didn't express what it means to be the father of Bnei Yisrael. Ve'eschol goy gadol, says the Medrash on this pasuk, that this refers to me, goy gadol asheloi elikim kreivim elof. There's a kirvas elikim that applies to this goy that is going to be your progeny, that you're going to father. And that begins from here. That begins from now. Something happened by Lechucha that was radically different to everything that Avraham Avinu did and achieved until the point of Lech Lecha. And whilst those things are worthy of being explored, not in the Torah. You learn a Medrash, you discover them, but the Torah wants to talk about Avraham Avinu as the father of Bnei Yisrael. That began at 75, that began when he was told Lech Lecha Me'artzecho. So really, if we can understand what this means, we'll have an appreciation of what is unique about Bnei Yisrael. What is the unique mandate of Bnei Yisrael? What is expected of a Yid, and how does it differ? Not just what is expected. How does a Yid differ essentially? There's a difference. There's a fundamental difference. Now let's understand for a moment, Rabbi Yisai, let's understand what is the difference between the Emunah. Emunah, you know, you have Chassidei Umar Soelon, who reach the conclusion, based on logic, based on scientific exploration, they reach the conclusion that Yesh Balabais Labirazu. They reach a maskana, they reach a very clear, conclusive realization that there is a maker to this world, and that there's a purpose for this world's existence, and that we have to commit ourselves to that purpose. Many people believe that. Rabbi Chanan Vassman has a long letter where he writes that that it's illogical to think otherwise. The Torah expects every creature to acknowledge this, because it's only because we have our own interests, and it's only because we want to enjoy our lives that we consider the other option. And the more we want to be free from any sort of obligation, the more we persuade ourselves to see the alternative. That's why there's a word in the English language called rationalization. You convince yourself anything if it suits your interests, right? If I want to do whatever I want, then I have to believe that the world is random, that everything is arbitrary, I can do whatever I want. If there is a system, if there's a rules and regulation, then I have to commit myself to them. So the human mind, so to speak, because of its negias, is interested in seeing otherwise. But if a person can free himself from his own negias, then, you know, things change. Then things change. Then you look at things differently. But be that as it may, if a person who is not a yid reaches, based on hakira, based on in-depth analysis and exploration, he reaches a conclusion that there is a maker of this universe, and he may even reach a conclusion that this maker would have revealed himself at some point, and he may even realize that the commandments had to have been submitted at some point, and he may come to a maskana that the various mitzvahs that he has to keep, Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach. This is really where Avraham Avinu was prior to Lech Lecha. That's a tremendous achievement. You have a person who's committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that what we're all about, to commit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To be an Eved Hashem? Isn't that why we're here? So what is lacking? What was missing? How does that differ to the Amunah of Avinu? You have two people. Both of them believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe the case that both of them have the same logical explanations for why they believe. But in one of them, in the case of the Yid, in addition, on top, above and beyond the reason and the logic, there's also an inherent emunah. There's an emunah that is there, the Yerusha Me'aviseinu. There's an emunah that is there in the neshama of a Yid. Now why does that make a difference? How does that differ? Why is that significant? At the end of the day, both of these people are committed. Both of these people have the same intellectual appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supremacy over anything else. And they're committed to it. How does it differ? Everybody say, let's think for a moment. When you talk about the bond between two things, an intellectual awareness of something, right? Follow me for 60 seconds, abstract thought, just for a moment. You're talking about a person who becomes aware. Imagine there's a house. The house is very, very sophisticated. The house was built. The house is very detailed and structured. And there are people who think that the house came about randomly. It suits them to think like that. We're not going to talk about them. They're to be dismissed. They're not even relevant. And then you have people who are aware of the fact that this house had an architect who is responsible for it, for everything about it, who designed it, who built it. In the case of the Bria, who continues to bring it into existence. So you have these two people, and both of them are aware of the fact that the house has a creator. But the first one reaches that conclusion based on the fact that the house couldn't have come by itself. The logic of the fact that this house exists, just a mere investigation of the fact that the house exists, leads him to a conclusion that there must have been a maker. And then you have someone else. Okay, and just in this mashal, this someone else, he saw the creator. He saw the maker. I saw the house being built. I saw the person who put brick on brick and made this house come into being. So both of these people know that there was a maker. What's the difference between the two? What is the difference between the two? You'll tell me the second one is more convinced, has a deeper conviction. Not necessarily. The first person is absolutely convinced that there's a maker, to the point that he's going to give up his life for anyone who would say otherwise. But if you look at his experience, the first person experience is only the house. He sees a house, and what he knows is that there's a house. Based on the fact that there's a house, he has a conclusion that the house must have had a source, must have had a maker, and that leads him to a maskana that the maker existed and exists and continues to create it. But he doesn't know of the maker. He knows of the house and only of the house. His experience is the house. What he's seen is the house. The second person who saw the maker doesn't only know that there's a maker because the house tells him that there's a maker, but the maker entered his awareness. The maker himself became part of his consciousness, part of his experience. He saw the maker. If you like, if you want to use the Loshanis of Sifrei Kabbalah, the Kaddish Baruch Hu was mayor in the person. A Kaddish Baruch Hu's presence is part of his reality. So you have two people who acknowledge the Briyas Olam, that there's a Beira to this world. One person does so based on Olam. The world tells him that there's a maker. His experience is, I exist, the world exists. Because the world exists, my Seichel tells me that there must have been something that brought it about. That's model one. The second model says, I experience the Beire. The Beire is impressed in my heart, in my soul, because I saw him, because I know him. A Yid, b'tibur, by virtue of having a neshama, has an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that stems not from his investigation necessarily. Sometimes you have to go through that process in order to take away the external factors, to move away things that would block it. But he has an awareness of Hashem because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mayor into the Neshama of the Yid, because the Neshama of the Yid is a chelek lekami mal. He knows it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality is part of his experience. And this, says this for him, is the difference between Avraham Avinu before Lech Lecha and after Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu had tremendous achievements until Lech Lecha. Unbelievable things. But it was a Nivra whose experience was only Bria. That experience led him to a conclusion that there must be a Bria. But he never experienced a Bria. And here's the first time, Vayoyimar Hashem El Avram. Hashem says to Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash says, Mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krayv im elov. Not that he's karev le elokim, but elokim krayv im elov. There was this galus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu. In his case, it was a nevuah. But at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, came into the Briah of Avraham Avinu. That's a new thing. This is where Avraham Avinu becomes the father of Klal Yisrael. Oyid Rabbi Sai is not only someone who acknowledges that Hashem exists. Ayid is someone who has Hashem's experience in his neshama. Ayid is someone in whom there is a chelek elokam imal. The Beir, so to speak, the Roshna Medrash is, hates its olav baal habira. Until this point, Avraham Avinu was makir as Beir. He was makir as Beir. But the Beir didn't come to Avraham Avinu. Over here, there was a ha'ara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the neshama of Avraham Avinu. And this is something that he gave the Yerusha to everyone of Bnei Yisrael. And the Medrash says like this, Rabbi said, you think, okay, what's the big deal? What's the big difference? Saf kol saf, two people, they're both serving Hashem. Now, we're discussing here, we're going down to the nature, to the very essence, you know, when you say, Shalei Asani Goy, what do you mean? What do you mean, Shalei Asani Goy? Am I not giving it? Let me ask you a question, Rabbi. I want to ask you a practical question. You have two people. You have a person, we're not talking about Bnei Yisrael, outside of Bnei Yisrael. You have a person who's a mushchus. A mushkas, nothing. He has no morals, no values, no integrity, no ethics. He does whatever he wants. You have someone from Deir Amara. And then you have someone who is a mamin. Someone who is aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is dedicated to the reality that there's a certain structure to which the human being has to be committed. The difference between these two people is very vast, no? It's very, very big. It's very big. If you would measure it, it's incomparable. One of them is a person who's aware of the truth, and the other person is Tamar Behem between these two people. But now let me ask you a question. If you take this second person, the person who's a mamun, and you distinguish him from the Amunah of a Yid, where is the gap bigger? Between the Mushkas and the Maimon, or between the Maimon and the Yid's Amunah? Where is the gap bigger? I want to share with you a Medrash. The Medrash says on the Pasuk, Ve'ez cholo goy godol, says the Medrash, Ve'ez cholo goy godol, Ve'asim cholo goy godol, Lo'y ne'ema, Elo ve'ez cho, Ani oise oischo birya chadosho. I make you a new barrier, says the Medrash. The word Ve'ez cho, the first word of the second Pasuk of this week's Parasha, says the Medrash, emphasizes the difference between Abraham before he became the father of Klal Yisrael, and the moment that he was chosen to be the father of Klal Yisrael by Avraham, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which begins in this week's parasha. What does it mean, Ve'ezcha, Ani Oischa Berya Chadosha? What does that mean? The person who was a mushchis and became a maimon, did he become a Berya Chadosha? Did he become a Berya Chadosha? He didn't become a Berya Chadosha. He was a human being that neglected his duties, and he became a human being that's committed to his duties. He's a more sophisticated version of the same barrier. When you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being, so to speak, injected into a person, the oil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oil itself is made in a person. It's a barrier chadosh. I will tell you further. If you were to distinguish between the min ha-chai and the min ha-medaber, you know there's doimim, tzoymeach, chai, ha-medaber. Doimim is a creature that's inanimate. Tzoymeach is something that's floral, grows. Chai is an animal. Ha-medaber is a human. What's the difference between a chai and a medaber? A huge difference. Achai is not a medabi. He has no seichel. He doesn't understand. He can't appreciate. He can't have abstract thoughts. He doesn't understand things beyond only, you know, his instinctive needs. Medaber can be a philosopher, can be a lawyer, can be a doctor. The difference between a chai and a medaber rabbeisai, you don't have to say this on the BBC, but the difference between a chai and a medaber is less so than the difference between a medaber and a yid. Because chai and medaber are both part of bria. They're both part of bria. There are two nivraim. One is a more advanced nivra. One is a more intellectual nivra. One is a more sophisticated nivra. But they're both nivraim. They're both parts of the Bria. They're both parts of the Bria. When it comes to the difference between a Medaber and a Ben Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Bnei Bris, a Yid who's born by Yerusha, which we have this from Avraham Avinu, it doesn't happen by itself. So Yerusha Me'Aviseinu, that a Yid is born with a Neshama, which Chazal tells us that a Neshama is a Chelek Alikam Imal. We're not talking a more advanced version of the Bria, a level up. We're talking about a Nivra that's connected to Beira. A Nivra that has within him the ability to identify with Beira, to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality. And that's the truth of a Yid Zemuna. A Yid Zemuna is not based on Cheshbonis. Avraham Avinu sat down and he saw maybe it's the Yireach, maybe it's the Chama. Maybe it's this. He reached a maskana based on the Bria that there must be a Bore, and he was committed to that Bore out kidei Mesiris Nefesh. And Mesiris Nefesh is not something to be dismissive of. Mesiris Nefesh, a person who's willing to give up everything. In other words, he was committed to this out of self, nothing in his way. Of the self called self, he came to this because of the Bria of this world. He never experienced anything above this world. This world led him to a hakara. There must be something higher. But that something higher was Ne'elam Yimenu. That something higher was not something that was made by him, Begilud. What was Begilud by him was that there's a Bria, and there's a Olam, and there's me, and this must have a source, and that's a conclusion that he made intellectually. Then the Amun of a Yid is never based on Seichel. Sometimes you have to go through the process of Seichel just to take away the outer shell. But self-self, after you go through all the Shlovim of Seichel, what emerges is an Amunah Tahira that's there by Yerusha Me'Aviseinu. That is the raw product of the Amunah of the Yid. Yisrael are Maminim, Bnei Maminim, that is the essence. That Amunah comes from where? It comes from the fact that there's something in us that's deeper than our intellect, that's deeper than our Seichel, that's deeper than our Hakira, that's deeper than what we can see. We have an ability to experience something higher, something greater. And that begins in this parsha. Vezcha L'Goy Godel. Here's the interesting thing. It says in Svarim, Al Pisod, not Al Pipshat. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecho, Me'artzecho, Me'olandecho, Me'beis Avicho, L'Oretz Asher Ereko, it says in Svarim, it's Me'isod on the Arizal, that, of course, Pashtus, what it meant was, you should leave Haran, and you should go to Eretz Yisrael. But on a deeper level, what it meant was, that on a deeper level, in addition to the physical command to go from point A to point B, Lech Lecho means go away from Artzecho Meiladecho Mebeis Avicho. Artzecho means your Tzoynis. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Yisrael Lassus Tzoyn Koyne, Roshin Rotzon. And Meiladecho means those things that you have Beteva, you have Beleida, your Midas. And Beis Avicho means your Moichin, your understanding, because Moichin are considered Avaim, Chachma, and Bim. Go away from all of that, everything that you had until now. Your desires, your understanding, your emotions, leave it all behind, and go al-Aretz Asher Erecha, you should go to the Ratzon that I will show you. Now the obvious question is, this, of course, the way the Arizal explains it, it means every Yid is supposed to internalize this for himself, that he should go away from everything that he's accustomed to, and he was born with, and he should attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, and so on. But we're talking about Avraham Avinu. So if a person has bad Ritzoinus, a person has bad Midas, a person has bad Machshavis, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave those behind, and embrace a new thing. That's really what we're here for. We're born, our default state is not a good one. We have to discover more noble desires. Fine. But we're talking to Avraham Avinu when he was 75. What do you mean, Lech Lecho Me'artzecho? What were his tzoynus? His tzoynus were to be mefarsim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and it will. His midas were only for Hashem. We're talking about a person who was on a tremendously high madrega. Why is he being told to leave it all behind? Why would you want him to leave it all behind? and go where El Arz Ashareka, to the desire, Arz that I will show you. Well, how is that going to differ from the desire that he had previously? The desire that he had previously was all for Hashem. What's he being told to leave behind? What's he being asked to abandon? Avraham Avinu, we can only aspire for ourselves to have the experiences that Avraham Avinu had prior to this command. Why is he being told to neglect that? And the answer is because all of the above is true. He wanted the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he felt Ava and Yira that we on the highest levels. And his understanding was on the highest level. But Sof Kol Sof, it was the card of his experience. It was a Mivra. It was like the Chassidei Yom HaSo'elam, the highest madrega of what Chassidei Yom HaSo'elam can achieve, in that they, as a Mivra, want to connect to something higher. But there is no Beira that's Meir in the Nivra. There's no experience of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that is part of that person's consciousness. That didn't exist. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells me, you want to be a Avam, you want to be Eschol Abay Godel, you want to be a father of Bnei Yisrael. Where is it going to begin? Fathering Bnei Yisrael, giving over Birusha to Bnei Yisrael, is something that has to start with leaving everything behind. Leaving everything behind and embracing the Gilui of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that was given to him the Matona at this point when it's all Lechem Yitzchak. That is something that you can only take if you let everything else go. It's not about what you've achieved previously through your Chakira and through your Seichel are wonderful. But that's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is the acknowledgement, the realization that you are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by default because you have an Neshama in your midst that is one with Hashem. And it's about uncovering that. So if you're going to stay in the model of Seichel, you're in the wrong place. You are given now in the Shemis of Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, and that's something that you have to see as the ultimate, and only that. That is where it starts and that is where it ends. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was boicher in Bnei Yisrael, and by doing so gave them an experience of Chelek Lekami Mal that is their Neshama. It says that the Neshama of the Yid is Birusha. It comes Birusha from the others. What is the definition of Yerusha? You know, there are certain things that sometimes, and this is what it means, V'eschol l'goy godl. L'goy godl, you know, Avraham Avinu, the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu asked, there are shivim umois. What do you mean, goy godl? No, I'm going to make you the goy godl, asher lo elikim kroivim elov, that is going to be a likim that is the skarvus to every yid. This happened now. That is going to be an elikim, the skarvus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be in a massive of the skarvus to a yid? That's not true for other Nivraim. That's not true for other creatures. Other creatures don't have that. So it says that that it becomes Birusha. Now what's the definition of Birusha? You know, sometimes a grandfather is very gifted. And he has several children. And some of them carry those gifts and some don't. He'll say he's very musical. Some of them carry it and some of them don't. They don't have it. They're tone deaf. They can't play the instrument that the grandfather can play. Sometimes it skips a generation. And the next child can get it, right? Next child can get it. But one thing is for certain. The one thing that the grandfather gives Birusha to every one of his children and grandchildren, Atzeif Kol HaDoiris, is the fact that he's a human. A grandfather, a parent, is not going to give birth to a cat, to a dog. Doesn't work. Be a more a more clever human or a less clever human, and a more capable or less capable, a more talented, less talented, but it's going to be part of the same Bria, it's going to be part of the same being. When we talk about the others, we talk about Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, which of course it skips to Matan Torah. The Medrash says that as for the God, from this point it's going to start by Matan Torah. We're talking about Birusha, the fact that parents are from Bnei Yisrael, because the Medrash that says over here, not a simcha. A simcha means I'll appoint you to a high position. The same being will be given a higher mandate. No. Ezcha birya chadosh, it's a new birya. It's a new bria. It's a new ischachus in the bria so'ilam. That is something that goes on automatically. If parents are from Bnei Yisrael, then by definition they have a neshama and they pass it on to their children. Of course there are conditions that have to be done in order for it to be revealed, to be manifest, there's got to be a bridge, a bismillah, and many other things. But the neshama as of such, because this is a new element to Bria Sa'ilam that begins, the Eschol Agoy Godol, not Vasimcha, but Ve'eschol, that becomes an inherent part of the, if you like, it's the wrong term, but if you like, the DNA of the Yid. It's in the genes of the Yid. It's not good midos that maybe the child won't have. Maybe a hakarah, an intellectual hakarah that the parents won't have. Avraham Avinu could have had a hakira in the emes of Hashem, and his grandchildren won't be maminim. Moshe Rabbeinu had a grandson who was not a mami. That's if you're looking on the level of hakira and versus him. But if you're looking on the level of neshama, that's something that goes on to every year. It's there, it's inherent, it's who he really is, and it's always open to be uncovered and to be brought forth. It's there. That's what a yid is. A yid is that attachment. That is the birya chadasha that started with Avram and is the inherent heritage of every single yid.
Very nice.